And this is the hour. We'll take your phone calls with Dr. Brooks Agnew. You heard what we've been talking about, so jump on board and let's share your questions. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with Dr. Brooks Agnew. Again, his websites are linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. He's also got a presence on Facebook. And are you on Instagram at all yet, Brooks?
Yes, I've been on Instagram for a while. Not a very big following, but I do use it.
How do they find you?
I'm everywhere as Brooks Agnew. There can be only one.
There is only one, to be sure. So when you look at everything that has occurred over the last couple years, from COVID to the situation between Russia and Ukraine, I mean, do you shake your head going, this is unbelievable?
Yeah. In fact, my business partners and I got together in 2019, and we were amazed at how we were preparing for the Roaring Twenties, the real Roaring Twenties. Money was flowing. People were working. Banking was doing great. The whole world was resonating with this message of hope and success and freedom. And it didn't seem like it could end. It didn't seem like anything could beat us, short of, you know, an assassination or something. But I think the global syndicate figured that they needed a weapon that was so powerful and so global in its scope that it would be effective. And they didn't have it. They didn't have the weapon. They released the flu, which was probably an engineered flu, but it wasn't as virulent as they thought it was going to be. And they did not count on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine being so effective at fighting it.
Exactly.
But what I marvel at, George, is what power they had to be able to pick up the phone and shut down 187 countries around the world. They just stopped everything. And when you stop commerce like that, even for a few weeks, and they did it for longer than that, the entire world fell into despair. Hundreds of millions of people not only lost their jobs, but lost their savings, lost their hope. The Roaring Twenties evaporated. It was an act of war against the world. And that's how powerful they are. But they didn't beat us. They did not beat us. We are going to come back from this. And we're going to come back even more untouchable and more higher vibrational than before, because humans have the ability to resonate one with another. Individually, we can be beaten. That's why they put us in solitary confinement.
Sure.
But when we group together, we are absolutely unstoppable. In fact, I truly believe that we are co-creators of the universe itself.
And when we say enough is enough, that's tough to beat.
Well, it isn't just the frustration. I mean, that's kind of a worn-out phrase now, enough is enough. What we have to do is not show the frustration. We have to show an outpouring of love. Canada really showed us the way. Those truckers didn't get angry. They didn't fight at all. They just loved, and that pulse was so powerful. It's going to change the world.
What do you think about China and Taiwan, Brooks? Have you taken a look at that?
Yes. I think it's a red herring. I think Taiwan is small, and yes, they have their own independent economy. China is completely bankrupt. Their GDP is like, they're 300 times more in debt than they should be. And they can't recover from it unless they consume other sources of value. That's why they took Hong Kong 10 years early. That's why they're going to take Taiwan, because they need the money. They're broke. I've been to China so many times, and they have these enormous cities that they've built that are completely vacant, grass growing up through the parking lots. Nobody's in the condos. The hotels are empty. They wasted their money.
They did, foolishly.
I think they had a dream, but I think the dream was built on grandeur, and what they did is they trashed the planet in doing it. They built so many coal-fired power plants. If you go over there now, I have a little bit of asthma. I can't even breathe in Beijing. I can't even breathe. I was in Shanghai, and I was like on the 24th floor of this hotel, and the glass on the outside of my room was etched with acid rain.
Oh, geez. Are you podcasting yet?
Oh, I've been podcasting for a long, long time. I've been on the air now. I'm in my 18th year, and
wow.
We've been podcasting for 10 of those.
How do they find that?
That's very easy. Go to any outlet you want, from Rumble to YouTube, and look for Brooks Agnew.
Simple as that. Okay. You've got everything tied to your name, don't you?
Well, I suppose so. It's not that, you know, I'm all that. It's just that you had to build a brand around something.
Well, it's easy. No, it makes it easier to find.
Right.
Ready for calls?
Sure.
First-time caller Holly in Central California. You're first up. Hi, Holly.
I'm here. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And my call's for Dr. Agnew.
Okay.
I've done you mentioned the DNA. I've done the DNA many times over the years, and I've done it with Ancestry and 21andMe, so they constantly would send updates and emails, and I sort of got tired of it, so I blocked Ancestry. And then this week, they somehow got into my inbox, and so I looked it up, and I thought, they had completely re-scrambled my DNA, and since Ukraine is in the news, it had me down as Eastern European Russian, 45%.
Jeez.
I've always associated myself with Russian, but then they broke that down and said I was an Eastern European Ukrainian, a Ukrainian in Moldavia, and a Ukrainian in northeastern Romania. Now, do you think it's possible that somebody hacked into Ancestry and said something like this to gain sympathy?
Possible, but Brooks, what do you think? But highly unlikely.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I think that what they did with 23andMe is they had a good marketing plan. Hey, would you like to find out if you're Scottish or Jewish or American Indian or something? I know there's one politician that really wanted to be American Indian, but I think that was the sales plan. What they're really looking for, I call it, they're looking for Captain America, but what they're really looking for is this specific bloodline, because it got scattered so thin that it could not sustain the spirit of a demon, because we all, created in God's image, we come to earth through what's known in the scriptures as the well of souls. It is the way that spirits join bodies here on this planet. But there's another way here. And it used to be possession, but that requires the soul to relinquish his ownership of his body because of enmity, which is a force God put between the seed of the woman and Lucifer. So Lucifer went around that and uses the DNA that he sowed in Cain to bring his demons to earth. And make no mistake, they cannot be saved. They're born evil, and they stay evil their entire lives. I did interviews with several criminal psychologists, and they all told me the same thing. These people are born with a propensity, that is to say, a deep-seated desire to cause pain in other people.
And they've been wanting to do that for a long time, Brooks.
And normally, you know, we kill them off. They die in wars, or we put them in prison, and they die of old age. But now there are more of them than there ever were before.
Putin is calling on the Ukrainian army to put down their arms. What do you think of that?
Well, again, there are three factions there. And, of course, he talks about the denazification of Ukraine. That is real. The Nazis have been in Ukraine since Johns, McCain, and Kerry kicked out Yanukovych and installed Poroshenko. They are there. They're absolutely there. And the Russian people that live in the area of Donbas, they've been fighting them for a long time in the streets. I think that Putin is trying to expel those NATO forces inside of Ukraine. And don't be fooled by the propaganda. It will all come out in the wash, I promise you.
Who's generating the propaganda? Us or the Russians?
Global media is called the global media empire. It sits in the hands of six rich white guys and three tech puppets. And that's basically all the media in the world, from Bloomberg to Comcast to ABC. Six outlets. It used to be 59.
They didn't get us.
Yeah, then Bill Clinton allowed them to consolidate. That's not to say that, you know, there aren't free speakers out there. There's certainly Coast to Coast AM. There's certainly America Free Radio. There are a lot of us independents out there. We're decentralized, and we do our very best to get the truth out as quickly as we can. We're not controlled by the global media empire, and they don't like it. They don't like it one bit.
I've had many guests on who they're not what I would call a Putin apologist, but they are more supportive of what he's doing. All of them did not said that he would not attack, so he's gone in there already.
Well, yes and no. He has been telling NATO for over a decade to back off. When we put cruise missiles in Poland and Romania, Putin could not be sure whether those were just regular cruise missiles or whether they were nuclear cruise missiles.
Right.
And frankly, we didn't want him to know. But that's 7 minutes from Moscow. 7 minutes. He cannot sit there and wait for them to take him out and take all his oil and gas.
It was like us in 1962 with the Cuban Missile Crisis. Who could blame us for doing what we did?
Exactly. So he just said, look, if you don't back off, I'm going to take action. And he was very clear about it. I think Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin had a pretty good talking relationship. And when people are talking, they don't fight. But Biden cannot be spoken to. He is virtual. He is not a real president.
Bob in Round Top, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Dr. Agnew.
Hi there.
Listen, to add to the conversation, I really do believe things are changing in our favor. And I always remember the old adage, you cannot stop an idea whose time has come. And our time has come.
Yeah, that's because of the resonant power of the human spirit. When we get together and we manifest, we get together on the same frequency, our additive energy is so powerful, we can move mountains. In fact, I believe we can create worlds.
Well, we can create worlds anytime we want, can't we?
Well, that's the hook, isn't it? Anytime we want. We have to want it, and we have to work together to get it.
Tom in La Jolla, California. Thomas, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for accepting my call, and God bless you and your staff. Dr. Agnew, great ideas that you're bringing to the table. I have a comment and then a question. And the comment is, it seems to me, just my opinion, that there is unlimited energy available for planet Earth, whether you're talking about sunlight hitting the surface of the Earth or whether you're talking about wave power or undersea currents, whether you're talking about geothermal energy, oil, wind power, solar power, whatever. And it's really, even though we have unlimited energy, yet we're in energy crisis after energy crisis. Just my opinion, it seems to me that if we had a super battery, okay, what do I mean by a super battery? A battery that was so powerful that I'm talking 10,000 times, 100,000 times more powerful than, say, a lithium battery, that a battery that you could buy, install in your home, it would power your home for 50 years, charge your vehicles, run the furnace, you know, run air conditioning, run all of your power, and also take you off the grid. And this brings me to my question. I believe that that super battery technology is already there, but perhaps it isn't. Maybe you could illuminate the audience and me on the possibility of a super battery. We're not in an energy crisis. It's a matter of storing and collecting the free energy that's already there. So I was wondering if you would talk about super batteries since you deal with batteries with your electric trucks.
I don't think the superpowers, Brooks, would want that.
It's not about storage of the energy. It is about distribution of the energy. You know, we don't really, to this day, really understand what electricity is. We just know if we rub magnets by wire, current flows out of the wire endlessly. That's why we're talking on the radio right now. Those electrons are not being invented somewhere. They're being coaxed into our dimension by electromagnetism, forces that we're exerting in order to make that happen. Of course, it takes a little more work and we get back out. So the next level is to figure out how to put in less work and get more out. And there is energy available. Like, for instance, on the moon, there's a reservoir of helium-3 that could power mm-hmm. Earth for 10,000 years. It's already sitting there, already stored up by the solar system for us. All we have to do is go get it and learn how to fuse the helium together. And we're very, very close to doing that. Then it's a matter of distribution. And I think that's where the global syndicate gets involved, because they know every society, every living society needs to have energy. Without energy, it can't survive. I don't care if it's rubbing two sticks together to make fire. And what they have decided to do is insert themselves between the energy of the universe and us to meter it, so they can make themselves wealthy and suppress us, keep us limited. So until we break that paradigm, we're never going to discover what you're talking about.
And don't they want to learn how to make money doing it, Brooks?
Yeah, that's what. They want to put a meter between the energy and us. In fact, in our country, if you look at it from the air, you and I fly a lot, George, so we get to look outside the window sometimes. We could see where they have decided where we can live and where we can't live. Where they stretch their wires, we can live. Where we don't, where they don't stretch wires, it's all dark. They're the ones that distribute the energy.
Absolutely. Let's take another quick call, and then we'll take a break and come back with final calls. Let's go to Jennifer in Sacramento. Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Oh, my gosh, this is such a great show. Dr. Brooks, I've never heard of you before, and this everything you're talking about I am into, and you've covered a lot tonight. So I wanted to ask you about the gathering. There was something before and after that.
Yes, the grand division comes before the gathering. And this is, you know, we've always been a divided society, even, you know, block by block or town by town. We're rivals in high school football games, for crying out loud. But we've never been gathered together. It wasn't until, and it could have been Donald Trump, it could have been anybody, but it wasn't until we heard a clarion voice that called us together. Maybe it said America first. Maybe it said some other word, but we began to coalesce, to fall out of solution and separate from the chaos of the world. We began to unify and to resonate with one another. That's the gathering. And when it happens, it is a marvelous feeling, and it is a marvelous event.
Back to COVID for a second, Brooks. I believe it was concocted in that Wuhan lab. I'm not sure if it was intentional or accidental. You believe that it was released on purpose, don't you?
Well, I did a binary analysis of this, and I said, okay, if it was released accidentally, how did they handle it? Did they try to contain it, or did they use it? We look at the actions, George, and what we found is that they allowed millions of Chinese to be infected during the Chinese New Year, and then they put them on airplanes and shipped them to San Francisco, to Pisa, Italy, to
everywhere.
New York. Yes, and of course, in a few weeks, those living bioweapons spread that disease, and so it had the desired effect. But it wasn't really the flu. It was the fear. It was the global media empire telling us over and over again, infection equals death. Infection equals death. You have to stay away from one another. You have to mask up. And humans are social animals in the sense that we communicate verbally and non-verbally. We communicate about 70% non-verbally with our face and our eyes and our smiles, our tone. All of that was suppressed with the mask, especially with children. And I think we haven't even begun to see the psychosis from this 2 years of being put in solitary confinement.
Well said. Brooks, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, earlier with Dr. Brooks Agnew, we were talking about the Nephilim. Next hour, Robert Stanley joins us to talk about the Anunnaki here on Coast to Coast. And welcome back, George Norrie with Dr. Brooks Agnew, our final segment here. Brooks, what's it going to take for us to win this battle we've been talking about all night?
Well, it's kind of like the game of golf. You know, you can play it, but you can never win it. Winning is a matter of the difference, I guess, between righteousness and unrighteousness. Somebody asked me that one time, and I said, the difference is which direction you're moving. So what we need to do as a human race on the planet, we can do now. We have the ability to instantaneously communicate one with another around the planet. We can resonate with one another, and we can resonate on a very high level. And if we do that, we can create the world that we desire. I mean, it is our observation that slowed the universe down so we can behold it in the third dimension. We have the power. All we have to do is realize that we have it, and then listen to the spirit. You know, one of the nice things, the reason churches work is because they all use frequencies. When we arrive at church, they're playing organ music or singing hymns or whatever. They're all in the same keys. They're designed to bring our physical bodies and the water in our bodies to a certain cymatic pattern that gives us a feeling of peace and renewal. That's on purpose. That is on purpose. We can do that for ourselves and with each other.
Back to the phones, east of the Rockies. David's with us in Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, David.
Hello, George. Hello, Dr. Agnew.
Good to have you with us.
My question to Dr. Agnew, he had mentioned the significance of blood work, was immediately placed in nine most notable cases. Adolf Hitler's attempt to manipulate bloodlines through his eugenics program and the Lebensborn program to produce a pure Aryan race. Now, do you consider that part of that attempt at manipulation?
I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, Brooks, of what he was saying. His phone was a little muddy, but he's talking about, of course, the Nazis, which you had brought up earlier, but they want that pure race again.
Yeah, the eugenics is designed to eliminate weak or undesirable DNA from the gene pool and, I guess, have a little entertainment while you're doing it. It is an evil concept. And we have seen the results of this in ancient civilizations where races of beings were brought together and bred like animals to create other races, to create useful beings. It is an evil concept to manipulate human DNA in this manner.
Yes. Wasn't that the work of Joseph Mengele?
Well, that was one of them for sure.
Yeah.
Certainly we learned a lot from him, but they were macabre techniques. I'm talking, go back even further than that. Go back to the Romans, go back to the Egyptians, where they actually brought in captured slaves and used them to breed workers and soldiers, etc.
Well, these so-called Nazis that are in the Ukraine, are they part of Walensky's group?
That's a good question. They are part of the global syndicate operating out of Brussels. You recall back in 2014, Yanukovych had been given a choice to sign what we call a debt trap. It's a loan that you can't repay with the European banks, with the transatlantic banks. And he was about to sign, but then Putin picked up the phone, called Yanukovych, and Yanukovych is Crimean. He's not Ukrainian. He's from Crimea. And he was kind of a flamboyant fellow anyway. But Putin said, listen, don't sign that loan agreement with them. I will loan you the money, and I will give you discounted gas. And so Yanukovych said, that sounds good to me. So he didn't sign the transatlantic bank agreement. Within days, Johns, McCain, and Kerry were in Kiev trying to unseat him and throw him out of office. Now, they fought for 6 weeks on the streets of Kiev and could not get international attention until Victoria Nuland went over and led a force to assassinate 100 Ukrainians in the street. That got the national news attention, and that allowed them to force Yanukovych out of office and put Poroshenko in place.
And that's where we are right now with all this mess.
Well, that's correct, except Zelensky, who was a popular comedian at the time, promised to do away with that corruption, and so the people elected him. But he didn't have anything. He didn't have any political connections. He had no big donors behind him. All he had were votes, and they've been trying to get rid of Zelensky ever since.
And what about the corruption? Was he able to get rid of any of it?
Hardly. The corruption goes so far and so deep. They were laundering billions and billions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money through shell corporations and nonprofits. And, of course, it was Joe Biden's son and others who were involved in this, lining the pockets of the global syndicate's soldiers inside our own agency government.
Joe in the Bronx. Take it away, Joseph.
Hey, George. How are you?
Wonderful, of course.
Great show.
Thank you.
Dr. Agnew, I wanted to ask you about Tesla and his experiments that led to, well, what he wanted to do was provide free energy. He wasn't interested in commodifying it. So this, in my opinion, this would have led to infinite energy and free energy. What do you think about that concept?
I support the concept. Of course, he first started with DC, then he went to AC, then he realized that alternating current has a side effect on biology, so he decided to go back to DC. But Tesla was not a very good businessman, and when he presented his ideas to people like Edison and Morgan, they realized there was money to be made here, and that's when they squeezed Tesla out of it. And when you say free energy, it doesn't necessarily mean it was free. You still had to do work to get it, but he wanted to make it free to the people. He wanted to radiate it throughout the city, and all you had to do was throw an antenna out the window, pick it up, and you could run your household off of it. It was a great concept, but it was either before its time or couldn't possibly have worked because the infrastructure would have been enormously expensive and, I think, ultimately unhealthy.
We've got Jeff in Williston, North Dakota. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for having me on. Thank
sure
you,
thing.
Dr. Brooks. George, I just wanted to share with you real quick that the Lord tells us we're blessed. I believe Moses said we're blessed by God to live 70, 80 years in these bodies. So anything beyond that, we're really blessed. So my father was in World War II, and he was around the world seven and a half times, both campaigns. And if it wasn't for prayer and our Lord, I wouldn't be talking to you guys. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Doctor, I just want to give some quick comments and ask you, ever heard of this, how Wernher von Braun was a very important man we got from Germany, and he even put on this tombstone, Psalm 91, that says the heavens declare the glory of God. So have you ever heard of this, Doctor, that Jupiter represents God the Father, Saturn represents Satan, Mercury represents Gabriel, the messenger angel, Venus, Jesus, Mars, Michael, the messenger angel, the moon, Israel. Have you ever heard of that, Doctor?
No, I really haven't heard of that. And I like the planets. I try to study all the lore I can, but I have not heard that one.
I'm sharing an alliance with what Wernher von Braun put on his tombstone. And if it was, we didn't get him from Germany, we wouldn't have the rocket program we have.
That's true.
So he put that Bible verse on his tombstone because he wanted people to know how the heavens do declare the glory of God.
I've never heard of that either, Brooks. Pretty remarkable all by itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jeffrey, thank you. Stefan in Seattle, welcome to the show. Hi, Stefan.
Yeah, we got your 5x5 copy loud and clear. So anyways, great guest tonight. You've had several in the last few days as we go through our Pluto return, and I'm sad to hear that Putin took those actions, but I've been sitting here listening, tuning harmonicas that have reeds in them that vibrate, and unless you get them vibrating just right, they're not in key. And so that's kind of what made me pick up one of these crystals. You had Whitney Strieber on the other night, and
yeah,
he was down there. He's speaking of his experience in Esalen Institute. I didn't know if he realized that there's all these crystals on the beach below him. And I'm holding one of them right now, and it's jade, and it says that it's good for the heart chakra, for your heart, and to bring people together. And so on this eve of World War III, I'm holding it in my hand, and I'm thinking that everybody needs to get with their crystals, because we had a gentleman here speaking a few minutes ago about batteries. Well, what do crystals do? They magnify. Think of it, you know, Captain Kirk, you know, she's breaking up. There's old Scotty. What is it? The crystals.
Are we on the verge of World War III, Brooks? Is Stefan right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that the world is ready for war on that scale. I think the media want us to be, and certainly certain administrations that are very low in the poll numbers want us to be. But I don't think it's like that at all. I don't think the news media is correct in saying that Putin has aspirations of putting the USSR back together. He's 70 years old, for crying out loud, and I don't think he's a megalomaniac. But he does have Russian people in Donbass, and they have been, just like my friends in Kazakhstan a few weeks ago, screaming for assistance when forces invaded Almaty, which is the capital of Kazakhstan. They reached out to Putin. Putin dropped his CSTO troops. These are treaty organization troops, into Almaty, cleaned it up, put 4,000 of those troops in jail, put the security minister in prison for treason, and then left again. There was no World War III. So I think that's exactly what's going on in Ukraine. They're just trying to make it a bigger deal.
He does have a way of eliminating his foes.
Yeah, and he has, it's no surprise. He has been saying for a decade to NATO, if you get any closer, I'm going to take action. And they have been moving their forces closer and closer. We talk about 100,000 or so Russian troops on the other side of Ukraine. On the European side, NATO forces are arrayed. So he's been warning them for 10 years to stop their aspirations at invading Russia.
Why didn't Russia ever become part of NATO?
Well, NATO is an obsolete concept. The North American Treaty Organization shouldn't even exist. Once the USSR was dissolved, there was no reason for NATO to exist anymore. But they became an entity in and of themselves. They became the military complex of the European continent.
They're like the United Nations of Europe, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I think they want to be, but I think they have bigger aspirations than trying to have peace, tranquility, joy, and happiness. From Italy all the way to Poland, they have tried to rule several sovereign nations as though they were one nation and dissolve their sovereignty into one flag. I don't think it's going to work.
So you have your doubts about NATO, it sounds.
I have big doubts about NATO. I've been all over Europe, and I can tell you that they have different cultures, Swiss culture and Austrian culture. It goes back thousands of years. The European forces run out of Brussels. This global media empire has aspired to dissolve all those country lines. That's what they want to do with the United States, too. They want to turn us from 50 states into 5 regions, and they want the governors to become managers. They want our states to lose their individual sovereignty.
Next up, Charlie's with us, Chester, New Jersey. Hello, Charlie.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Thank you, Charlie.
Brooks, I was taught that the angels are actually the souls of plants and animals. The great goddess leads the religious angels, and God the Father leads the fallen angels. And Satan is actually a tree spirit from long ago.
What are your thoughts on that?
I've heard that legend as well.
Do you get involved much in angelic stories, Brooks?
Yes, ancient ones and modern ones. And I think that even existing mortal humans can be angels in mortal form. We have great power. In fact, we're on a different track of exaltation than angels are. Angels are limited in their ability to become exalted beings. Humans, absolutely unlimited. That's why we are so valuable to all the forces in the universe.
Where do people get your books? They're still available.
Oh, yeah, easy to do. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere fine books are sold. You can also get them on my website. I'll sign them and send them to you that way. Just simple, brooksagley.com. Go to the store. Everything is there.
What's your next major project, Brooks?
Well, I'm working on book 12, which is a sequel to Charm of Favor, and I'm trying to turn the Birth Trilogy into a TV series.
Good for you. And you're going to continue with the electric truck company?
Yes. I don't think we'll go into full production with it now. Just too old now and spent too much money. But the project is ready. It's debt-free. It's ready to go into production. And we are talking with entities from all the way from South Africa to Canada.
Super. Brooks, thanks again for being on the program.
My pleasure, George. Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Brooks Agnew did also a wonderful Beyond Belief show for us, where if you're a Beyond Belief member, you can watch that program too. Up next, Robert Stanley joins us as we talk about the Anunnaki.